This is a CBC podcast. The CBC Music app. Free for your iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch, and now available on your Android device. Over 40 unique web radio stations. Rock to classical, pop to jazz, and everything in between. CBC Music satisfies even the most demanding music lover. The CBC Music app. Free and now available on your Android device. Go to cbcmusic.ca and connect with the music you love.
Gerard LeBlanc struggled for years with substance abuse. On the evening of July 21st, his wife, Susan, caught him mixing prescription drugs with weed and alcohol at their home, which is located 20 minutes north of Yarmouth. Later that night, Gerard told Susan he wanted to go immediately into detox. She called the detox unit at the Yarmouth Regional Hospital three times and left an urgent message. She received no response. The next morning, Susan found Gerard LeBlanc dead. Jeanne LeBlanc is Gerard's sister. She's a retired registered nurse, and she lives in Yarmouth.
Good morning, Jeanne.
Good morning.
I'm very sorry for your family's loss, and I realize it's an imposition to some extent to ask you about this, but I know that some people feel that this can help other families. Gerard had had drug addiction issues some time ago, but he had been clean for more than a decade, had he not?
Correct, 12 years.
And when did the relapse occur?
Over 3 years ago.
Did anybody in the family suspect there was a reason for the relapse, or was it just one of those things?
They always think you got to give away what you have in recovery in order to keep it. And he stopped going to meetings, and his service work slacked off at detox and stuff like that, right? And so it's always a great danger whenever that happens for any recovering addict.
Because he had been active in the community with other people who had had substance abuse problems.
Correct.
In what way?
He put on sponsored meetings at the detox, NA meetings. And Susan, his wife, remembers him from when she first met him when he was clean and doing well. And when they got together, she thought he was the same guy. But he started dabbling.
When you look back just 10 days ago or so, give us a sense of what she encountered, what his wife encountered.
What happened is she told me when I arrived home from, I was in the valley when I arrived home, she told me that both she and her friends had noticed he was acting peculiar, had been acting peculiar for about 2 days prior to.
And in this particular occasion, it appeared to Susan that there was alcohol, marijuana, and she discovered some pills, did she not?
Yes, prescription medication was found. She knew he was in distress, but nobody could see the depths of the distress until the night of, right? And they had talked about he wanted to get back where he was 15 years ago when he came back to Nova Scotia and started his recovery over again.
So they were talking about going into detox. So on the particular night,
yes.
She attempted to call the hospital.
She did, yes, and he wanted to go. He was very willing, yes.
What happened?
They never got a return phone call.
Now, she made several attempts to call, but there's a direct number to the detox center, right?
Correct, and she called that number, too, and that's the number where she left the message.
Now, that center is, what, 6 beds?
Yes.
And the theory is, the thinking is, or the policy, as I understand it, I might be wrong, is that there should be either a nurse or somebody else on that ward 24/7?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Do you know how many times she called?
3.
Yeah.
Yeah. She went through the switchboard 3 times and was given the detox direct line through the switchboard, and she called the detox direct line.
Now, I would assume this occurs over a number of hours. What's Gerard's state during this time?
I guess he had gone and laid down to watch TV and was going to sleep. And wait for the call. But, I mean, in the meantime, there were signs, like she said, he was walking weird. He was doing things she had never seen before. And I said, well, what kind of weird? And she said, well, his legs were buckling when he was walking. And I said, and in my head, as an RN and as a recovering addict myself, I recognize that that's a bad sign. I'm going, oh, God, right? Which is a sign of high amounts ingested, and your body wants to shut down, but it's such a high tolerance, you can just keep going, And he did.
So Susan, at no point, is saying to herself, I can't get through the detox center, so maybe I should just call an ambulance. That didn't occur.
No, because Gerard, again, had such a high tolerance. It did not appear to her life-threatening. I mean, it's not like he collapsed. He didn't go unconscious. He wasn't foaming at the mouth or anything, or sweat running down his face, or, you know.
At what point in this horrible night did Susan go downstairs and find out that Gerard, in fact, had died?
Actually, it would have been through the 7 o'clock in the morning. He was normally up before her and making coffee, and that hadn't happened. And so when she checked him, she touched his arm, and he was rigor mortis had set in. He was stiff. His whole body moved. So she did CPR and called 911, and, you know, they were there within minutes.
As a nurse and as a person with some experience in these things, what difference might it have made if, in fact, somebody had picked up the phone in the detox center?
Well, at least if somebody had been spoken to by medical personnel, at least he could have been, like, triaged. You know, if she'd been able to say, well, you know, gee, he was walking around, his knees were buckling and stuff like that, like, you know, that at least he could have been told, get him to an ER, right?
Yeah.
Never mind detox, let's get him to an emergency here.
Has the hospital responded to the fact that those messages were left? Nothing, and there was no response on the evening?
The first word I received was that they got my voicemail, because when I called them the day that I arrived, and found out that they had called detox. I called detox to find out what was going on, and they got that voicemail. But they couldn't find any trace of the voicemail that Susan had left. So anyway, I'm being reassured that they are retracing the voicemail system, and I called the switchboard administrator and he's going to speak to his staff that was working that night, and they reassure me that they are retracing the system. See if they can find it.
I know that you mentioned you've spoken to the hospital. I've seen a number of different people in different circumstances there. Have you been satisfied with the response that you've had from the hospital thus far?
I've been told that they're making a change in the messaging system, that it was going to be changed to no voicemail system. And I said that, do you understand that that's kind of like setting up a suicide hotline with nobody on the other end? And, you know, I was then asked, you know, what I'd like to see happen. And I'd just like to see, like, 24/7 care accessible to people when they need it. There shouldn't be a different standard of care. To me, it's an essential service.
Sean, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
It was good of you to take our call today under the circumstances. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Jeanne LeBlanc is the sister of Gerard LeBlanc, who died from a prescription drug overdose in the early hours of July 23rd. Tomorrow, we hope to speak to the head of addiction services for the Yarmouth Regional Hospital.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.